We begin with that breaking news out of Sudan, where the military has arrested several civilian ministers and officials. Protest leaders are calling on people to take to the streets and resist what they say could be a military coup. Tension has been rising for weeks between military and civilian factions sharing power in a fragile transitional government. That was supposed to lead Sudan to elections after longtime leader Omar al-Bashir was pushed from power in 2019. Well, Heba Morgan joins us on the phone now from Khartoum. Heba, so a fast-moving, developing story. What more have you been hearing now about the arrests and what the military has been doing on the streets?
Well, to know more about who is arrested and their whereabouts is very hard because of the internet shutdown that the government has imposed, as well as the restricted phone access. It's very hard to make calls, near impossible actually to make calls on landlines around Khartoum because of the restrictions that has been imposed. But we have been going around parts of Khartoum, and we've been able to see people lighting up tires. Many parts of Khartoum, you can see black smoke from the tires rising, and that's in resistance to the latest developments. We've also seen vehicles blocking all the bridges and roads leading to the city of Khartoum. That's where the presidential palace is. That's where the prime minister's office is. And that's where most government institutions are. So it's obvious that there are fast developments that are happening, which many people here are now regarding as a coup, especially because the guiding principle, the guiding document that's guiding this transitional government is the constitutional declaration, the power-sharing agreement that was signed between the military and civilians in August 2019. And it makes it very clear that should the military move or should any side move to make changes in the makeup of the transitional government without the agreement of the other, then that is considered a coup. Now, political parties have called on their supporters to take to the streets, and that's what's happening, although they are dispersed around the three cities of the capital Khartoum because of the shutdown on because of the restrictions of access to bridges and roads leading to Khartoum. But many parts of Khartoum and Omdurman and Khartoum North, people are burning tires, people are taking to the streets. We still don't know where the Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok is, but we know that his cabinet minister Khalid Omar has been arrested. We also know that the Minister of Industry has been arrested and the Minister of Information as well. Now, it's not clear how far this coup goes. It's not clear how many ministers have been arrested since the internet and telecommunications shutdown has imposed. But people on the streets are really upset. We can hear them chanting. You can see the tires that they're burning. You can see the black smoke rising. And they're saying that this is a revolution that started in 2018 and is obviously far from over if the military is not willing to hand over power to a civilian rule.
Yeah, Heba, as we're talking to you, we're seeing some of the latest pictures on our screens of those protests on the street, fires being set. What about state media, Heba? And are we expecting any kind of statement from the military? I mean, they've been pretty conspicuous by their silence.
Yes, indeed. Now, state media is yet to issue any kind of statement, to even give an announcement that there is a statement expected from any government official at all. The Minister of Information, who's the government spokesperson, is obviously under arrest, so he will not be able to give that statement. But we're yet to hear for any statement from the military, from the Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, from anyone in his press office. Now, this is a very stark contradiction to when an attempted coup happened on the 21st of September, just last month, when the state media immediately issued a red banner saying that there is an attempted coup and that the military is working to contain it. And a few hours later, it got a statement by the press advisor of the head of the Sovereignty Council, who's also the commander-in-chief of the military. Now, when you compare it to that, the state media has been conspicuously silent and is yet to issue a statement. The army also has been very silent. Now, they've been accused of backing this sit-in in front of the presidential palace that has been going on for over a week because people, parts of the FFC, some forces, some groups in the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition, that's the coalition that led anti-government protests against President Bashir, have been demanding that the military take over and dissolve the cabinet. They say that the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition is no longer representative of all the groups that took part in the revolution and has been hijacked by a few political parties and therefore needs reforms. Again, when you go back to the Constitutional Declaration, the military does not have the authority to reform the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition. That's something that has to do with the coalition itself, that the military should not intervene in. And that's something that the advisor, the special envoy, the U.S. special envoy to the Horn of Africa, yesterday in his meeting with the cabinet ministers and with the head of the Sovereignty Council, stressed on that the civilians should be able to deal with their issues and that there should be, and people should stick to the constitutional declaration that was signed between the two sides to ensure that Sudan's transition continues.
Hiba, as we're talking to you, we're getting updates about the situation in Khartoum. We're hearing that the airport has been closed. A few minutes ago, we heard that the military had sent reinforcements to the airport. So clearly, now the airport has been closed. In terms of the broader political landscape, Hiba, let's just remind our international viewers that relations have been soured between the military and civilians now for some time. How fragile is the transitional government, and why is there such tension between the generals and the civilian leaders?
Now, relationship has been very fragile since the attempted coup between the civilians and the military last month. But it has simply heightened. For months now, Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok has been calling on the security sector to reform itself, while the security and the military sector has been calling on the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition to reform itself. Both blame each other for the lack of progress in Sudan's transition. Both blame each other for the political, for the slow political development of the country, the slow economic growth. With the military saying that Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and his cabinet have not been able to give concrete solutions to the economic crisis that sparked the protests in December 2018. So there has been accusations between the two sides. There's also the issue of who will lead the Sovereignty Council, and that is the crucial issue. Now, as per the Constitutional Declaration, the army is supposed to hold power for 21 months and then hand it over to civilians for 18 months. But a peace agreement signed in October 2020 between the armed groups and the Transitional Council reset the clock of that transition. And it's not clear yet what the civilians and the military are to do or to make of the 14 months that passed prior to the signing of the agreement. Now, there has been no agreement. There's been no written clarification on whether they will divide it between themselves, the month that has been passed, and the additional months will be split between the military and civilians. And that has created a lot of tension, with the military saying, we still have 21 months. We should, the original time for the transition started in October 2020 when a peace agreement was signed, and with the civilians saying, no, we have 14 months that passed with you guys in power, and as per the Constitutional Declaration, you guys are not supposed to be leading for more than 21 months, even with the extension. It doesn't give you more than an additional 6 or 7 months.
Hiba, let me just jump in here with a final thought, because we're just seeing some wire copy here that Sudan's Information Ministry says the military has arrested government figures, government ministers, and their whereabouts remain unknown. So the first response there from Sudan's Information Ministry. That leads me to another question, Hiba, and if you can just be brief. I mean, it's interesting that only some members of the cabinet have been detained. What's that telling us about why the military has chosen to cherry-pick who it detains?
Now, if you look at the pro-military group and what they've been saying that specific political parties have been taking over this transition. They say that many of them, that more than 30 people participate in the revolution, but only 4 political parties get a bigger representation than the rest of the parties. Now, when you look at the head of the spokesperson of the Sovereignty Council and the Minister of Information, they come from the same party. That's the Democratic Unionist Party. And when you look at the Cabinet Affairs Minister and the Minister of Industry, they also come from the same political party, which is the Sudanese Congress Party. So it looks like they're targeting specific parties in this cabinet, and not everyone, because a lot of the cabinet ministers we're yet to hear news of their arrest. It looks like they so far have basically stayed out of the line of fire, for lack of better words. But so far, we have confirmed that there's several government officials that have been arrested. And if this is not a coup, then the fact that the internet has been restricted, the fact that phones have been restricted, the fact that the airport and bridges have been shut off, does not show good signs, and which is why we're seeing protesters take to the streets. They're saying that, again, the military is going against the Constitutional Declaration on how to shape this transitional government.
All right, Hiba Morgan bringing us an update there from Khartoum. Hiba, thank you. So let's just examine, how did Sudan get to this point? Well, in December 2018, thousands of people in the northeastern region of Atbara protested against high unemployment, poverty and corruption. Within days, those protests spread to other cities, including the capital, Khartoum. In April 2019, the military removed President Omar al-Bashir from office after nearly 30 years in power. Well, 4 months later, and after accusations of excessive use of force against protesters, the military agreed to form a civilian-led transitional government. The new cabinet took office in September under Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, as part of a 3-year power-sharing agreement. So let's bring in again Khulod Kerr. She's a managing partner at Insight Strategy Partners. That's a public affairs firm based in Seattle, and they specialise in government relations. And Khulod has been on the phone with us throughout the morning from Sudan's capital, Khartoum. Khulod, so we may not be calling this a coup just yet, but it does have the makings, doesn't it, of a full military takeover?
Absolutely. I mean, the closing of the bridges, the closing down of telecoms, there's a complete internet blackout. You can't make phone calls. You can't send text to SMS messages. Quite clearly, the arrests of key government figures, including members of the Sovereign Council and also the Minister for Cabinet Affairs, Khalid Omar, indicate very much that this is a coup. In any case, any contravention of the constitutional declaration or the constitutional document of 2019 and any sort of push by the military to try and maneuver certain civilian actors is considered a coup by the constitutional declaration, which is why we're seeing protests start to come out in the streets of Khartoum as of this morning.
And we saw, Khulod, that wire drop that Sudan's information ministry had responded to events by saying that, yes, indeed, the military has arrested government figures and ministers, although we obviously don't know their whereabouts, and also the Prime Minister, Abdallah Hamdok. How significant is this, that the military has now responded and officially come out and said, yes, there have been these military arrests?
The interesting thing is that we haven't actually heard a thing from the military for a few days now, certainly since the mass protest and the mass turnout on the 21st of October. I think that the military was surprised by to the extent to which there was anti-military sentiment within the country and the extent to which people across the country, not just in Khartoum, came out against military rule. By comparison to the crowd seen, the massive crowd seen on the 21st, their sort of sponsored or brokered or orchestrated protest a week earlier saw much fewer people, probably in the thousands, but dwindled then to only probably 100 or even fewer. The interesting thing about the media angle is that in the past 48 hours, we've seen the Sudan News Agency building stormed by pro-military supporters. Last night, we heard the Ministry of Information was also stormed, and it's quite clear that the military wants to get ahead of this narrative, probably because it thinks that it does still have some civilian support. But again, that support is not by any means the majority of Sudanese people based on the number of protests.
Khulod, you mentioned this anti-military sentiment. We just heard from the Sudanese Communist Party, who are now calling for civil disobedience. How are those calls likely then to play out on the streets, do you think?
Well, civil disobedience is very effective in Sudan in that a lot of people do tend to conform to it. It's been a very constructive means of applying pressure because it applies to both the formal and the informal sector. And in addition to protests, which of course are sort of a great sign of discontent, but they're not necessarily always constructive in the way that they impact decision makers or the way they impact the military. With a civil disobedience, you get much more of that targeted impact on the economy. And we know, of course, with the military that the economy is very important. The military maintains and has maintained throughout the transition period a sort of a death grip, if you will, on the economy and has been loath to give up all its interests in state-owned enterprises and also private enterprises that it got during Bashir's time in power. And so this should have at least send a very clear signal again to the military that there is a very strong opposition to their takeover or any attempt of a takeover.
Khulod, just a final thought to you. I mean, in terms of the broader Sudanese political landscape, I mean, one analyst we were talking to earlier on described these developing events as the beginning of the end of the democratic experiment in Sudan. Is that how you see it? Because when we were talking to you earlier, you talked about the transitional government being a big pretense.
The partnership between the different, very, very sort of different interests within the civilian the transitional government was a theatre, if you will. But I wouldn't say that this is the end of the of a democratic experiment in Sudan. That's a very ahistorical outlook. I would say that it's the end of the civil-military partnership, or that experiment that we have now. But that's sort of been the case pretty much since June, since the Prime Minister has come out to say that the military does need to reform and it does need to push through all the different issues that were stuck at the Sovereign Council, and that it needed to let go of its controlling share of a lot of economic interests. So that experiment is done now. I think the gloves have been off for a while, certainly since the attempted coup of September 21st. But if people coming out in the streets today and civil disobedience is not also democracy, then I don't know what is. Certainly we're going to see a lot more of that.
All right, Khulod Kerr, they're updating us on the phone from Sudan's capital, Khartoum. Khulod, thank you for that. Let me just wrap up for you, if you're just tuning into Al Jazeera here. The pictures you're seeing on your screen are of protests on the streets of the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, following news that the military has arrested several high-profile civilian ministers and officials, including, we understand, the Prime Minister, Abdalla Hamdok. Now, protest leaders in response have been calling on people to take to the streets, and those are some of the pictures you're seeing on your screens, and resist what they say could be a military coup. And we know that tension has been rising for weeks between the military and civilian factions within the power-sharing government, which has been a very fragile transition government. So, of course, more on this developing story as we get it here on Al Jazeera.